Oh, good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Man, it's Valentine's morning. Is everybody doing well? Anybody doing great? Anybody? Any ladies wake up with like some flowers or candy this morning? Anybody? Raise your hand if you woke up with some flowers or candy this morning. Okay. Some of the husbands are slacking a little bit, but they got something really good planned. The ones that didn't get anything, they were talking to me earlier. They had something fantastic, like way beyond planned. Okay, it's going to be great. It's going to be fantastic and awesome. So, I need to know where you're ordering. Give me that phone number. I need to order some stuff for the wife. Wherever that is, I'll get that phone number. Man. Elijah, did you take the suckers? They're gone. Man, I needed a little. Throat's a little dry this morning. One of those suckers would be good. Anybody got one? Wait, how did you get two? Everybody's got one? No, don't throw them at me. Anybody not want to give? No, they'll throw them at me. I don't want to have a bad eye too. Does anybody not want to give me? You know what? Kiddos, as long as it's okay with your parents, you guys can go ahead and have those. Wait a minute. Before you do, is anybody here willing to give me one of them? Anybody not want to give me one of them? Anybody want to? Raise your hand if you don't want to give me one. Evan, can I have your sucker? Please, just give me your sucker. What? Let me have that sucker real quick. Just let me see it. Is it gone? Been coaching you and Paul all year, and we're like supposed to be buddies, and no sucker. Man, can I have a sucker? Two up there. I don't want those. I want yours. Can I have yours? No? Oh, so everybody's all willing to give me one until it actually becomes real. I can have yours? Oh, cool. Thank you. Thank you. Can I have somebody else's? I'm going to do the same thing with it. Oh, Evan's like, I done sucked on mine. You can have it if you want it. You can have it, buddy. As a matter of fact, I know at least one of these is Elin's. And as soon as I brought these in this morning, he said, you can have these. Those are disgusting. So he threw them up there. Guys, I have some more of those. But that goes along a little bit with our message this morning. Even though Terry gave you guys a sucker this morning for Valentine's Day, Terry got that from somewhere else, didn't you, Terry? As a matter of fact, the one feller that gave me the sucker, I got something even better than a sucker for him. Warren, come up here for a minute. If anybody doesn't know, Warren was saved and baptized just a couple weeks ago, weren't you? Yeah. And we've got a Bible for you, Warren. This is from the whole church. But you got to promise me something. That's going to be the greatest tool that you have for the rest of your life. You gonna read it? Okay, take it back. So often we get things in life, we get blessings in life. Like sometimes it's little simple stuff, right? Like maybe a sucker one Sunday morning, which is the worst idea. I'm not a big fan of these suckers either, and it's gonna be like a terrible taste in my mouth the rest of the sermon. But that being said, it'll make sense in just a little while. So often we get blessings in our life, right? Like we realize that God's blessing us. We're thankful that God's blessing us. We have so many good things in our life that happen. But then if we were to want to give some of those blessings to somebody else and it would take away from us, how willing are we to give those up? How willing are we to give those up? So, of all of us here this morning, none of these kiddos They just had a huge donut breakfast and probably ate more donuts than any of you parents really wanted them to have. And they had orange juice and everything else, right? Chocolate milk down there. They had so many things. But then they get a sucker and another blessing, a little something, and I think our kids are getting like smart to the way that I roll, because usually what happens is when I ask something, they're like, oh, at first they're like, no, I'm not going to give it, but they're like, oh, he's going to give me more, so let me just throw it out there. But in life, should we not have that same response that the kids have? Like, we are so blessed in everything that we get. We live in an area that even the ones that are hurting in our community, and there are people hurting, there are other places in the world that they would be doing great, right? Like, we really, really have to sit back and say that we have an abundance of what we need. But sometimes that abundance can make our minds cloudy. Right? Like, we can forget about why we need to be blessed or why we have been blessed. We forget about all the things that God does for us, and we start thinking that all these things are like owed to us. Right? All the things that we have, we deserve them, right? Like, you guys deserve to be able to come to church today in your vehicle that runs well and have the ability to go out and maybe get something to eat afterwards, and to be able to have donut breakfast where we, not only do we just have food, we have ridiculously terrible food for you that we enjoy, but we're just going to go and splurge on it and have more than we need. But then we forget that whenever our neighbor's hurting and they just need a fraction of what we have, it's like, literally, you heard the phrase, like, anybody ever had, they say this about a boss. Has anybody ever had a boss that they're like, man, you would think that we were taking that money out of his own pockets? Anybody ever had a boss like that? Anybody had that? Yeah, I've had them before, yeah, you know. And then I've had bosses that gave abundantly. Luke, Mark, if you're listening to this on down the road, you're one of those bosses that gave abundantly. Never know, I may need another job one day, right? But no, we have these ways that we think of the blessings, and we think they're just ours, they're ours, ours to hoard up. Well, as I told you before, we're getting back in the study with David. And David, let me set the scene. David's men have been sitting around, and they have been, in a way, guarding this area. Whether it's for the purpose of guarding or just out of being good guys, I lean more towards out of being godly men, they were taking care of people in their surroundings, right? And we also know that at the beginning of 1 Samuel chapter 25, the first thing we're going to read is that Samuel passes away, and they have a time in which we know Samuel's gone, and then we go into this story with David. And we're going to start reading, I told Luke at verse 9, but then I also talked to Elijah yesterday, and something he said to me stuck out. I said, man, at what point do you read so much that it just is too much? And he said, well, you've got like an hour, right? So at an hour, it's probably, okay, we can go at that point. So I said, man, I'm not going to skip it. I changed my mind last second. So Luke's not going to pop up the verses until we get to 9. But let's get started at verse 4. No, actually at verse 2. It says, a man, Moan, had a business in Carmel where he was very rich. He was a very rich man with 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and was shearing his sheep in Carmel. The man's name was Nabal, and his wife's name Abigail. The woman was intelligent and beautiful, but the man, a Calebite, was harsh and evil in his dealings. While David was in the wilderness, he heard that Nabal was shearing sheep. So David sent 10 young men, instructing them, go up to Carmel, and when you come to Nabal, greet him. In my name, then say this, long life to you and peace to you, peace to your family, and peace to all that is yours. I hear that you are shearing. When your shepherds were with us, we did not harass them, and nothing of theirs was missing. the whole time they were in Carmel. Ask your young men and they will tell you. So let my young men find favor with you, for we have come on a feast day. Please give whatever you have on hand to your servants and to your son David. David's young men went and said all these things to Nabal on David's behalf. And they waited. Now, we're going to go on a little bit there before, in just a second, but before we go on from there, let me just make sure that we understand what's going on. So David's needing some food. He's needing some nourishment, right? He has been around Nabal's family. We have this guy that's a rich man. It says he's got thousands of sheep, right? He's got more than he needs, and he's out shearing, and David sends his men and said, man, can you go ask him for some food? So often in our own lives, we have so much abundance, and when people come and ask us for stuff, our response for most of us, I would hope, we would be like, man, yeah, let me give them a little bit. Let me give them a little bit more here. Let me give them something here. But Nabal is a little bit different, as you hear earlier, that the way that he is described here is he is described as an evil person, as a bad man. He has a really good wife, but he's a really bad, terrible person. And they know that going in. He's got a reputation, right? Even though he's got so much, he has the reputation of being so bad. Guys, we want to make sure that with our abundance that we have, with all of the things, even when we don't think that we have abundance, that we want to make sure no matter what it is that we proclaim Christ in the way that we act each and every day. I sure hope that none of us come to the point or come to the reputation that somebody says, man, they've got a lot and their wife's good or their husband's good, but man, they are terrible. We don't want that kind of reputation, right? Well, that reputation comes from the way that we treat and love other people. We talk about Valentine's Day and we talk about love. There's a lot more than just loving your spouse, right? Like, we celebrate that on Valentine's Day is loving your spouse, but we need to talk about loving everybody. We want to talk about loving even the unlovable, right? The ones that are hurting. We need to figure out how to love and take care of them. And then we also have to realize our abundance. And so here we go just a little bit farther in. Nabal says, who is David? Who is Jesse's son? Many slaves these days are running away from their masters. Now let me ask you this. What's the chances that this guy actually doesn't know who David is? You think there's any chance? No, they know. He knows who David is. He's just giving a reason to not help somebody. Reason not to give something that's his up. He knows. You got to remember, there are songs being chanted about who David is, right? David kills more people than Saul does. David's a better leader than Saul is. People know who David is. Let's go on just a little bit farther. Says, am I supposed to take my bread, my water, and my meat that I butchered for my shears and give them to these men? I don't know where they are from. David's young men retraced their steps. When he returned to him, they reported all these words. He said to his men, all of you put on your swords. So each man put on his sword, and David also put on his sword. About 400 men followed David while 200 stayed with the supplies. One of Nabal's young men informed Abigail, Nabal's wife, look, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, but he screamed at them. The men treated us very well. When we were in the field, we weren't harassed, and nothing of ours was missing. The whole time we were living among them, they were a wall around us both day and night. The entire time we were with them, herding the sheep. Now consider carefully what you should do, because there is certain to be trouble for our master and his entire family. He is such a worthless fool. Nobody can talk to him. Abigail hurried, taking 200 loaves of bread, 2 clay jars of wine, 5 butchered sheep, a bushel of roasted grain, 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cakes of pressed figs, and loaded them on donkeys. Then she said to her male servants, "Go ahead of me, I will be right behind you." But she did not tell her husband Nabal. As she rode the donkey down a mountain pass hidden from view, she saw David and his men coming toward her and met them. David had just said, "I guarded everything that belonged to this man in the wilderness for nothing. He was not missing anything, yet he paid me back evil for good. May God punish me and do so severely if I let any of his males survive until morning." Let me ask you guys just a second. We've got a little farther there, but I want to pause for just a second. So what we've got is David gets furious, right? He has taken all this time taking care of somebody. He has had his men protecting, and even to the point where the people know, right? The servants come to Abigail and said, "They haven't harassed us. They haven't done anything negative to us. As a matter of fact, since they've been here, they have been a wall around us protecting us." How cool would it be to be known as that kind of church? The type of church that when the community talks about us, they're like, "Man, that church right there, they put a wall around us protecting us from the outside. That church cares for us. Every time they turn around, that church is doing things nicely to us. They never harass us. They never do anything negative. We have nothing bad to say about them." Would that be an awesome way to be talked about as a church? Man, I would sure hope so. To be called a wall around this city, a wall around this county that is not allowing negativity, bad things, hurtful things, and protecting our community. How awesome would that be? See, these same people are obviously opinionated because their own master, the guy that provides food and stuff for them, the one that they consider the head, they talk negatively about him. As a matter of fact, they call him a fool. His own people claim to be a fool. See, we can be that same way. Either we can be protectors or we can be fools. Guys, with our abundance, what are we doing? What are we doing? See, David proclaims himself to be as one of Saul's kids in the way that he presents himself here. He knows who he is, and yet he doesn't want to help him, even though David's taking care of and taking care of and taking care of him. The way we need to look is not in the fact of, "I have this little bit, what can I possibly gather more of?" That's not the way that we need to seek out, not to build our own selves up, not to build our own wealth up, but how to give out what God has blessed us with. Nabal has forgot that. Nabal has all this, and yet he has forgotten that it can be taken away in a split second. As a matter of fact, you guys have been hearing all kinds of things going on with the stock market here lately, right? Like a bunch of us have been talking about it. We've got like an investors group. A couple of us have been discussing and getting some stocks and things going on, right? And then all of a sudden you hear about some GameStop stock, right? And like everybody decided that they were going to buy in to GameStop stock, and it inflated the stock really, really high when they did that. And when it did that, you had all these greedy, and in my opinion, greedy, they may not all totally be, hedge fund guys that are just losing everything because everybody decided to buy in and make something in their mind better. So often when the people that are making the billions of dollars, they want you to not be a part of that goodness. That's how they keep their billions. We do not need to be those type of people. We do not need to hoard up all of God's blessings and just say, "I need more and more for myself." We should seek to go out into this world. We should seek to go out into the community and say, "How can we all gather together to make this worth something? How can we make this county, this community worth something? And the way that we do that is we all have to buy in. We all have to literally come together and change not just what we say, but what we do. Not just financially. You know, you never hear me talking about tithing and that sort of stuff. That is part of it, you know. But I don't speak of it because that's the thing that between you and God, in my opinion. You guys need to talk about that. If God has blessed you in a certain way, give back. But I'm talking about in your day-to-day lives. Do you go, do you see somebody, do you see a family that maybe you're working with or maybe a neighbor or something that's hurting? Do you give them abundantly? See, Abigail goes in and she says, man, my husband did something so dumb and I'm going to make up for it. As a matter of fact, it describes here, she gives so much back, she has to load down two donkeys worth of stuff. I don't believe that she was thinking about what's good enough. She was thinking about what can I give? And she gives. And she gives it just the right moment because here's David. David's coming down the road and he has full intentions to take every blessing that Nabal has away from him. He has full intentions to end his bloodline, to take him away. But yet, Abigail's love and knowledge of God and knowledge of who David is comes up and says, we got to stop this situation. Now, on Valentine's Day, you know, I'm going to always should be like, hey, husbands, love your wives. Wives, love your husbands. And wives, submit to your husbands. Love them. Take care of them. The husbands, you should lead your household. But I'm going to tell you in the same way here, husbands, be in the knowledge that if you are not leading in a godly way, God expects for your wife to. Husbands, if we're just living in a non-godly way in our households, don't expect for our wives just to follow along blindly. Because that path does not go to glory. That path sends your entire family into somewhere else that you don't want to go. See, Abigail knows her husband's a fool. My wife's like, amen, every now and then, right? Abigail knows her husband's a fool, and yet she still does what's right. Ladies, I'm telling you, if your husband's not leading in a godly manner, step up and show your family how to do it. Pray for him, but step up. She goes behind him and does something good. She goes back and gives all this to David, and David takes it in, and he says something coming up. He says, he tells one of his buddies going down the road, one of the guys walking to him, that we're going to take out everybody. Let me ask you this. Do you think David was right in his desire to take out Nabal's entire family? What do you guys think? Yes or no? Go ahead and speak it out there. No, why not? See, David even has, wait. We're not getting into the David's done anything just wrong point yet, have we? Like everything David's done seems oh, so perfect. But yet David has a tendency right here. He steps up and he wants to take some revenge. For just a lapse of judgment, David's ready to take in and take revenge upon himself. And as we read a little bit more, he sees something. He says, when Abigail saw David, she quickly got off the donkey and knelt down with her face to the ground and paid homage to David. She knelt at his feet and said, the guilt is mine, my Lord, but please let your servant speak to you directly. Listen to the words of your servant. My Lord should pay no attention to the worthless fool Nabal, for he lives up to his name. His name means stupid, and stupidity is all that he knows. I, your servant, didn't see my Lord's young men when you sent. Now, my Lord, as surely as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, it is the Lord who kept you from participating in bloodshed and avenging yourself by your own hand. May your enemies and those who intend to do harm to my Lord be like Nabal. Let this gift your servant has brought to my Lord be given to the young men who follow my Lord. Please forgive your servant's offense, for the Lord is certain to make a lasting dynasty for my Lord, because he fights the Lord's battles. Throughout your life, may evil not be found in you. Someone is pursuing you and intends to take your life. My Lord's life is tucked safely in the place where the Lord your God protects the living. But he is flinging away your enemies' lives like stones from a sling. What the Lord does for my Lord, all the good for promised you and appoints you ruler over Israel. There will not be remorse or a troubled conscience for my Lord because of needless bloodshed or my Lord's revenge. And when the Lord does good things for my Lord, may you remember me, your servant. Then David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who sent you to me to meet me today. May your discernment be blessed, and may you be blessed. Today you keep me from participating in bloodshed and avenging myself by my own hand. Otherwise, as surely as the Lord God of Israel lives, who prevented me from harming you, if you had not come quickly to meet me, Nabal wouldn't have had any males left by morning light. Then David accepted what she had brought him and said, go home in peace. See, I have heard what you said and what you granted. And have granted your request. Then Abigail went to Nabal, and there he was in his house, holding a feast fit for a king. Nabal's heart was cheerful, and he was very drunk, so she didn't say anything to him until morning light. In the morning, when Nabal sobered up, his wife told him about these events. His heart died, and he became a stone. About 10 days later, the Lord struck Nabal dead. When David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, blessed be the Lord who championed my cause against Nabal's insults and restrained his servant from doing evil. The Lord brought Nabal's evil deeds back on his own head. Man. So as I read this and as I was thinking about what was going on in this situation, David kind of took a step back for just a minute when Abigail came in and gave him everything. One of the cool things is Abigail knows. See, she had been in a relationship with a terrible person, yet she was still living a godly life. And whenever she sees David, she knows who David is, and she knows that David is one of God's men, right? And as a matter of fact, when she comes up, she explains to him that God's working in your life, David. David, you got to keep on doing what's right. Even like us, when we get in that situation where we're doing right, and we're doing right, and we're doing right, and we're trying, and everything's going well, we get into a situation where we've been blessed and blessed and blessed, and somebody comes up, and they see us maybe faltering just a little, and they explain to us, hey, hold up. You guys ever had this? Hold up just a second. Give me just a minute. Let yourself think about what you're doing. As Christians, we need to step up, and when we see our brothers in a situation where they're doing something that may hinder them, in the same way Abigail sees David coming in, and even though she fears for the lives of her household and the people in her household, she also sees David having fault in the fact that he wants personal revenge. Sometimes we want that same personal revenge, right? Like we just, it's in us to want to make somebody hurt because they hurt us. We don't need to do that. We need to realize that our purpose isn't to build ourselves up, but to build God up. If God wants to lay down judgments upon people, then allow him to do that. We should not be the ones that are going to seek after somebody's life. We need to ask God for the direction. We need to ask God for what we need to do. And God will take care of us. As a matter of fact, Abigail is, she says something really, really cool. She talks to David, and in the same way, when she proclaims to David who he is and that he is one of God's men, and she says to him, and she says, whenever you have your kingdom, just remember that we've been gracious to you. Take care of us here today, right? And as I was reading the way she responds, I automatically think of some other time that somebody proclaimed, just remember me. Does anybody know what I'm talking about there? We're getting ready to celebrate here in just about a month, or maybe a little over a month, this awesome holiday of Easter. As we think about Easter, one of the things I think about is they were the men on the cross, and one of the thieves that was on the cross asked Jesus, said, all I'm asking for you is today, whenever you go into your kingdom, that you remember me. And Jesus' response was, you will be with me in paradise today, right? This lady just, she doesn't ask for more blessings. She doesn't ask for more sheep. She doesn't ask, she said, just look kindly upon me for being faithful to you. Isn't it so awesome that we have a God that loves us so much that he sent his son to die for us on that cross? Isn't it so awesome that even in our selfishness, in our times that we act like Nabal, where we just don't want to, we want to hoard everything up, we want to have it for ourselves and live big, and there, even in our times where we want to be like David, where we want to go out in this situation and get revenge on our enemies, that our God still sends people out to proclaim the love of Jesus in the same way that he sent Abigail to open up David's eyes to the fact that he was being selfish. Guys, we don't need to do anything for ourselves. We don't need to go out and seek revenge for ourselves. We don't need to hoard up blessings for ourselves. We need to go give and give abundantly. We need to go love and love abundantly. We need to go share all that we have and all that we are and do it abundantly. So as you guys celebrate this Valentine's Day, that you celebrate all the good things, remember that we are so blessed to have a God that loves us so much that he gave his son to us abundantly, more than we ever deserved. See, we deserved to have the same thing given to us that David was planning on giving Nabal. We deserve to not have anything left. We deserve death, yet God loves us so much that he gives us life through his son, Jesus. Let's be a church that seeks to give abundantly, to love abundantly, and to go abundantly. In the end, whenever evil comes into our life, see, it may have not changed Nabal in any way. It doesn't say, as a matter of fact, it says that he died, his heart died, and he became like stone, and then he literally died a few days later. See, it doesn't have some dramatic change on Nabal. What it does is it had a dramatic change on everybody else in the situation, and God took out the sin in the lives of these people. Abigail being such a faithful wife, not only, and I know this sounds terrible in a way, but not only was she blessed with the fact that David spared her life, she also was blessed in the fact that her worthless husband was taken out of the picture and she was then wed to David. If you read on a little bit farther, she became a king's wife for her faith. Guys, when we give more than we get, when we seek to give all that we have, when we seek to go out in this community and put that wall around it and love no matter what, God will bless us. So as we go into this time of prayer, I want you guys to just think about all the things that you have in this life. Think about all the things that God has blessed you with. Think about all the things that you're working for and ask yourself, am I equally trying to give more than I get, or am I trying to hoard them up? Let's go into prayer. Lord God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for loving us and being with us. I ask that today that you allow us to know what you need for us to give, Lord. I ask that in the end that we seek how to build your kingdom instead of our own first, Lord. That we seek to build you up and to love you and to seek after your will and your desire in our life. Lord, that we seek after how to bring people into a relationship with you and not just take and take and take. Lord, I thank you for having days like today, these Valentine's days, where we can get together and talk about love and talk about sacrifice and talk about great things, Lord. But I ask that in every situation, in everything that we do, in everything that we celebrate, that we put you first, that you are the reason, you are the purpose for everything that we do. I thank you and I love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.